Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Chenjerai Komanyika. He is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. Hi, Chenjerai.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. The U.S. and its allies have launched major bombing strikes in northeast Syria today, targeting the Islamic State group, which has reportedly kidnapped hundreds of Syrian Christians. Reports claim that ISIS has captured 10 Assyrian Christian villages inside Syria and has also killed, of course, in the past many non-Muslim groups, although it's not clear what their intention is for the latest mass kidnapping. Meanwhile, Kurdish Peshmerga fighters are continuing their battle against ISIS in a nearby area of Syria in an attempt to cut the group off from its Iraqi affiliate. And the Washington Post reported this morning that it has identified the masked ISIS member who has appeared in a number of beheading videos and known only as Jihadi John by his captives. Mohammed M. Wazi is a UK citizen who obtained a degree in computer engineering and comes from a well-off family in West London. He is thought to have traveled to Syria in 2012 when he joined ISIS. Well, Chenjerai, how effective do you think that the U.S. war has been? It's been fighting this war for more than 6 months now, but ISIS seems to simply be growing stronger.
Well, Sonali, the situation in Syria is certainly of concern. In Iraq, we've seen ISIS be beaten back to some extent, but in Syria, the problem is that no faction in Syria, Bashar al-Assad's regime, or any of the major rebel groups have concentrated their efforts on ISIS primarily. And so this is certainly worrisome, but there are some signs that elsewhere, you know, ISIS is being beaten back. But I think that what we've just learned about this particular, terrorist is that it focuses our attention on the idea that, you know, the victory over ISIS won't come really through military force primarily. You know, it's kind of going to come as we win over people who are skeptical of American power, you know, in the Middle East and everywhere else.
And finally, an internal police investigation into the fatal shooting of a 35-year-old undocumented immigrant, Antonio Zambrano Montes, in Pasco, Washington, has revealed that officers fired 17 bullets. Zambrano Montes was killed on February 10th after police confronted him for throwing rocks at parked cars. A bystander's cell phone video of the shooting, which has been viewed over a million times, shows police chasing the unarmed man with his hands up in the air before he was shot. The fact that 17 bullets were discharged strengthens the case against police for overuse of force. The Mexican government, the ACLU, and others have lodged complaints over his death. Zambrano Montes' mother traveled this week to Washington to view her son's body. The FBI is apparently monitoring the internal police investigation, and the news comes just 2 days after the Department of Justice and the FBI formally closed their investigation into the 2012 fatal shooting of Trayvon Martin in Florida and decided not to file any civil rights charges against the shooter, George Zimmerman. Well, speaking to the case of Antonio Zambrano Montes in particular, Chenjerai, the New York Times and others called his death a Ferguson moment for the Latino community. Do you agree?
Well, I think there's certainly some elements there that could make this like Ferguson. One is that you have a police investigating unit who's already raised a lot of skepticism in that community with the lack of transparency in the investigation and the refusal to really engage in a way that brings people confidence that there's going to be a fair investigation. However, there's also the fact that Benjamin Crump has chosen to act, and Benjamin Crump represents Trayvon Martin's family, the family of Tamir Rice, and the family of Michael Brown. So it may be useful for those families and those constituencies to kind of come together to put pressure on the government to make sure that we have a fair trial.
And the Federal Communications Commission is expected to cast a historic vote today to classify the internet as a public utility in what will be a huge victory for net neutrality advocates. The vote, which appears to be happening in the morning hours as this program is being recorded, represents the culmination of years of work by grassroots organizations. The three Democrats on the five-member FCC are expected to vote to preserve the internet as a free and open arena. Malkia Cyril of the Center for Media Justice said in an interview on Truthout, quote, "Our digital rights are as important as our rights around incarceration and our rights around policing, our rights around food and housing. Our right to communicate is on par with these other rights." Chenjerai, do you agree with Malkia's sentiments?
Yes, I think that these digital rights are crucial for our information, and we appear to be on the verge of an important victory. we're going to have to continue to fight. Those who feel net neutrality is important are going to have to continue to fight, because major media corporations will try to fight these regulations. But the other thing is that if you look at the involvement of the net neutrality movement with the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, she talked about that, and that's very important, because when we see with movements like the Black Lives Matter movement, they rely so much on social media and alternative media, and so it's been good to see those kind of coalitions happen.
Well, Chinjerai, I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you very much.
Chinjerai Kumanyika is our Daily Newsflash guest expert. He's an associate professor of communication studies at Clemson University. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.